Welcome to The Lowdown, KMXT's new daily show dedicated to giving you the up-to-date information we have available on the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's impacting life on Kodiak Island. The Lowdown will focus on the facts as provided to us by local and state officials. During the show, we give you access to local officials and experts on COVID-19 and community actions related to it. If you have questions for our guests, please email them to lowdown@kmxt.org or call KMXT at 486-3181. You can find a list of upcoming guests on our Facebook page or on our website, kmxt.org. Audio from each day's program will be posted on the website. To the sad, sad truth,
the dirty lowdown.
And they're dancing around in here. Morning. Welcome to the mental health edition of the Lowdown. And I believe we're really going to have a mental health edition here today. I really, really believe that. In the studio with me, I have a longtime buddy of mine, Jody Carman, who works at the Coast Guard Base, Angie Erickson, who works at the Coast Guard Base, and Heidi Barrett is back from Canada, Case K. What is the number of that? KCHC.
Yeah. KCHC.
KCHC. Sorry. Well, let y'all introduce yourselves and tell you a little bit about who you are and what you do and, you know, what your papers hanging on your wall are, you know, so that we know you're official and your real mental health types. Right?
Right.
How about you, Jody?
Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Oh, hey. So thanks for having us here today, Mike, to talk about some of the resources that we have here in Kodiak. And again, I'm Jody Carman. I've been with the Coast Guard since 1986.
Really?
So I've been, I was a former active duty member, spouse, and also been a civilian employee as the Employee Assistance Program Coordinator and other positions in the same office since 1996. And my master's is in public health, focused with health promotion. So I'm all about helping people modify their risk factors to live a healthier lifestyle. And I also do a lot of training and education, suicide prevention, critical incident stress management, and hostile work environment.
Hmm.
A lot of crisis intervention.
That's not your work environment. That's another outside environment that's hostile.
Yeah. If somebody's having trouble at work or they're feeling like they need somebody to talk to and feel some issues, I can help people with that as well.
Okay. Angie?
Hi, I'm Angie Erickson, and I work out at the base. I'm the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator for all of Alaska.
From all of Alaska, and you're located here.
Yes, the largest Coast Guard base in the United States.
Right.
And I have a master's in divinity.
Divinity?
I was a military chaplain. I have a master's in management. And somebody asked me what that's all
managing
about.
Managing what?
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
I say people and things.
Wow, and you can get paper for that, huh?
Yeah.
Sweet. What kind of classes do you have for management?
You just learn how to manage things.
Wow.
And one of those things is stress. You learn how to manage stress.
That's right.
And so what we do is we have an office out there, and we work together, our team of six, and we help each other inside.
To do
the,
what?
To well, I handle sexual assault, but
the general idea is to equip our members.
We equip our members personally and professionally for success. Yes.
Thank you.
Wow, that seems like a little routine you guys got going there.
Well, because this Kodiak is really an austere
and remote environment.
Yes.
Austere and remote environment is where we're at.
And it's a difficult place to live for many people that are up here with the Coast Guard.
Heidi, let's not exclude you. Heidi, the two folks from the Coast Guard are in the room with us, and Heidi is on the screen watching us, probably with the same kind of look that I've got. So the discussion is going.
Quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
My name is Heidi Barrett McNerney. And I am a licensed clinical social worker. I work at the Kodiak Community Health Center. I am a therapist counselor there. I have a large background and lots of experience as a substance use disorder counselor. And I also work with people who have mental health issues, such as anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, et cetera. I work normally in the clinic with the doctors, and we do a lot of what we call warm handoffs. So if you would come into the clinic with a cold, and as you're talking to your doctor and you say, I've been feeling really down lately and I haven't been sleeping, the doctor would probably come and grab me and say, could you talk to this person and maybe set up a follow-up appointment with them. It's a little bit different working from home because we're doing all this stuff remotely. So that's been exciting and a big learning curve. I also help coordinate the medically assisted treatment program, which is for people who have heroin and or opiate use disorders. And that is a program where we use a medication, most typically Suboxone, to help people get through their withdrawal and kind of craving stages and move into recovery. And so that program is still active now. We are still taking new patients. So that's basically it. I've lived in Kodiak a long time and I love it here, obviously, because I've been here over 30 years. So.
Yeah. Okay. So for the most part, then is most of your work then the handoff work, or people coming in directly for your services? I mean,
people also come in directly for my services.
Okay.
And I should also mention that Manku Johnny is the other behavioral health therapist counselor, and we coordinate our efforts together.
Okay. It was surprising to me that there's so many portions of the Coast Guard base that I didn't know anything about. I mean, that, I think it was alluded to last week that there was seven or eight different departments, maybe six different departments out there that deal with different areas of
Of life. Absolutely. Life. Just like Heidi, we do a lot of warm handoffs as well.
Yes.
So we do a lot of connecting to other resources, as well as we provide some, like I said, direct services as far as crisis intervention, and we do a lot of education. So that's really a big piece. But we each have different programs, different positions. There's six different ones. There's myself, the Employee Assistance Program Coordinator, and we have a contract, actually, is our flagship program in the Coast Guard called Coast Guard Support. And they're confidential counseling services that our members can access directly, and they can get counseling outside of the gate into the community. We do have affiliates in the community that can provide confidential counseling for people, so they don't have to be on the base, right? It gives them an outlet outside the base. And that is available for family members, active duty, and civilian employees. And it's not only just contracted counseling. They can get 12 sessions covered at 100% with a provider, either an affiliate provider that's on the contract, or they will ad hoc people to the contract as well. They'll find a counselor in town, use one of our many great resources that we have. But there's also there's money coaching. People get a free money coaching, a free wellness coach. There's also legal services that they can access through Coast Guard Support as well. They can get a free legal consultation. And if they contract or they retain that attorney, they can get 25% off of all their legal services for their case. So it's a pretty robust contract. Then one of my responsibilities is to let people know about that it's available, that they can use it. We have a pretty robust marketing campaign with flyers. We promote the website. There's a website, cgsupport.com. And there's webinars on that. There's, flyers. There's quizzes. There's all kinds of articles and resources that they can access on the website as well. And they can request services as on the website, too.
Okay, let me get this right. So if somebody's in the Coast Guard and they are a Coast Guard dependent, they have all these services available to them, and you're kind of a pipeline that hooks them up with the right people.
Correct.
And for the most part, there's a big awareness program so that the folks in the Coast Guard know how where they could go, that these are available to them. And
absolutely. And they don't always access them. A lot of times we are the conduit. They'll come see the work-life staff, and then we will get them hooked up. A lot of times, if people are in crisis, after I speak with them for 50 minutes and listen to what they have to say and kind of assess what they need, if I feel like a referral would be appropriate to Coast Guard support, I can have them call right from my office, and I give them dial the phone. They can get their do their intake right there. And then because a lot of times after they talk, they feel good for a while, but it doesn't solve all their problems. So we want to make sure they get hooked up with some longer-term counseling. Or we get them in with our wonderful clinic. We have an amazing clinic on base, too. So we have docs that are available that they can talk to as well. Or, you know, to another staff member. We refer to each other. Right, Ange?
Right. One of the things Jody said was work life. I think that's really important. What we try to do, our work life team, there's six of us, is go to the all hands. That's where we have these monthly meetings. Every unit has a monthly meeting. We try to go to these all hands and stand up there as a staff, the six of us, and say, we are your work life. We are the people that are here for you. We want to equip you personally and professionally. So let's say that we have a member from that unit come to us. We're going to help that member get the services they need, whether it's on the Coast Guard base or off the base. But one of the things is right when that service member gets to the base, we do the in-brief. And I think that's so important to let that new member know about work life and what work
we're
life
all about.
Yeah.
Because
it's awesome.
We have 12 work life staffs throughout the whole Coast Guard, right? And so a lot of times people come to Kodiak, and because we're set up, the Coast Guard units are also spread apart. A lot of times they don't even know about work life. And that's what we're doing right now for our members that are coming in. They're quarantining.
There's 12 of them throughout the whole United States. Is that what you're
12
saying?
12 staffs. 12 staffs. Work-life staffs, yes.
And you have one of them.
Yes, we have one of them here in Kodiak. We have a satellite office in Juneau. So some of our specialists cover the whole state, like Angie. We have one sexual assault response coordinator. We have a personal financial management manager, Rebecca Leitenberg, who handles the whole state. And she's amazing. She is such a great resource for finances. And we also have transition relocation manager who handles transitions in and out of Kodiak and out of the Coast Guard, helps with spousal employment. We have our family advocacy specialist who you spoke with, Kate Murphy, who handles child abuse, domestic violence cases, and she does family need of services. So she does a lot of parenting classes and works with families very, very closely. And then we have our special needs professional who handles any cases of special needs, families that need any ongoing mental health, educational, or physical health needs that are ongoing more than 6 months. We want to make sure that that family's enrolled so that they can get the services they need. And if they can't get them here in Kodiak, we will transfer them out of here.
Really?
Yes.
And two other ones, the ombudsman coordinator. It's part of Roni's job, right?
Absolutely.
An ombudsman, I'm sure people are aware of what that program is, but that person is usually typically a military spouse, right?
Yep.
And that person is the voice to the command on behalf of that unit.
Right.
So if a cutter's underway and something happens, that ombudsman, a military spouse representing that unit, can go to the command and say, hey, we have a situation.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah.
They're part of the command cadre, actually.
Yes.
The ombudsman is actually part of the command.
And the other part was the adoption piece.
Right. We have adoption reimbursement services as well.
Yeah.
So if people want to adopt a child, we have a certain cap that will help provide some financial assistance for an adoption.
I think it's just what we try to do is we try to get the military spouses to come see us because I think it's a very important way to connect with that demographic because typically we're in front of our military members through the all hands, but we're in the commissary, we see a spouse, we love on them for a few minutes with their children, and we say, hey, come on upstairs. We're on the fifth floor of this building. Come up. We've got a play area. We've got coffee. And we've got, you know, great people who want to connect with you.
I do some of my best work outside of my office, I tell you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At the gym,
yeah.
At the commissary, at the Coast Guard Exchange, seeing people. I mean, that's where we get a lot of our...
Okay, we're going to go into that in just a second when we talk about how it's changed since we were shut down now. But let's talk a little bit about how this works into the general teamwork that may exist between you and Heidi.
Yeah.
Those are services that are available to the Coast Guard. And it sounds like, man, if I'm in the Coast Guard, I'm set. I got everything I need. Mm-hmm. This is great. Except you don't have the counseling piece for long term, right?
Nope.
So you're using the independents and the clinics that are in town.
That's right.
And so how does that work? How does that whole process work?
So, again, there's a couple different ways. So, as I told you about, there's the Coast Guard Support Counseling Services. And, again, people can access those directly. There is a 1-855 number that they can call, Coast Guard Support, or go to CoastGuardSupport.com. And then they can get set up that way. Or they can get a referral through the clinic, our Coast Guard clinic. Our docs will refer out for counseling services if people choose that, if they would like to get counseling. They don't have to, but they can request that as well. And then they'll do referrals directly from the clinic to the different counselors in town who's ever available, or depending upon the situation, the best match.
Huh.
They'll match them up with the best person for them.
So how is it that you work with Heidi? Or with somebody?
So there's a couple different ways.
How the town teamwork thing works.
Yeah, so we have a critical incident stress management team, CISM, that is it's a community team. It's Coast Guard. It's kind of one of the few CISM teams in the country that actually are community and military joined. And it's a team of mental health providers, chaplains, and peers from all different emergency services, as well as other community agencies that provide intervention services. And there's a whole host of interventions from large scale to one-on-one in the event of traumatic incidents. So they're basically a crisis intervention trained team that's available.
So
and Heidi's one of our clinicians on the team, and so is Stephen Flora. So is Evelyn Vizinchkis, who is our team psychologist, and a number of chaplains, Dave Davis, our wonderful chaplain on our base, who we can't say enough about, Chad Asbury. He's amazing, great resource as well. We refer to him quite often. Because I don't know if you knew this about chaplains, is that chaplains have 100% confidentiality in the Coast Guard. Somebody can tell a chaplain literally anything, and the chaplain cannot report that.
Shaking your heads like this is...
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, they have to take it to the grave. The information that, you know, so if
they're like priests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone came in and said, hey, you know, I'm suicidal, the chaplain just does their very best to
refer them, but if they don't want a referral...
They don't want a referral, you know, just does their best to help them with coping skills and... To talk to them about Jody or the work-life staff.
Yeah, and our chaplain he's got a PhD. He's got a couple different degrees. I mean, he's a counselor, too.
Yes.
So really, he is a counselor as well as, you know, a chaplain. And so he's a really great resource.
So how does this, what do you do then for, how does the teamwork, what do you do in preparation for things? How when you have a meeting together and you're talking about community resources and how this team works, What do you do?
Okay, so we have quarterly team meetings, and we hold them in different our last meeting was virtual. We had it over the telephone.
Yeah.
And they're not mandatory, so whatever team members are all invited, I mean, they can come to the meeting or not. And I do them in different locations every quarter so that the team is familiar with different areas in case we would need to utilize those spaces to provide interventions, like the Salvation Army Church, the Armory, the Firehouse on base, the hospital. So we do them in different areas so we can get to know different agencies. And we normally just talk about the various team call-outs, if we've had any interventions that the team has provided, if we can talk about those or speak to those or how we responded.
What's the subject matter? I mean, I guess that's what I'm talking about. What is the interventions we're talking about? Is it domestic violence? Is it...
It's usually critical incident trauma. So for first responders, if they're called out on a particularly traumatic case or it doesn't go well, and there's a lot of yuck factor, something that produces a lot of symptoms for them, you know, that overwhelms their senses, providing intervention services and letting them talk about it from a psychological perspective helps to calm down that stress response and provides a quicker recovery. Right, to get them back to normal, to baseline. We know that that is that's the function of it, so that people can get back to work. That's the main function of it. So for our Coast Guard members, if we have an air crew that goes out and we get a SAR gone bad or there's a mishap and people are, you know, struggling with that or they're thinking about it, ruminating about it, so we send in a team of peers that have been there, done that, and they can provide, depending upon, again, it's like a golf bag with different interventions. We'll pull out whatever club we need to, you know, talk to use, and that air crew or individual can talk about what happened from a psychological perspective, just from their symptoms, from their reactions, not operationally. What they do is they normalize. So our peers will normalize those reactions that they're having. Hey, man, been there, done that. This is normal. You're not crazy. And these are some things that are really helpful. And it's all that self-care stuff. You know, get a workout within 24 hours. Drink a lot of water. Eat well. You know, watch the alcohol, because it does, you know, you think it's going to help you sleep, but it can really be act as a stimulant. So, and what we know, the research does show us that people that go through a CISM intervention tend not to use alcohol as much, which is really important, and that's really a good benefit from it too. Not only does it help them recover and help them sleep, but we know that they tend to use that alcohol less, so that's a good thing.
That's interesting. On purpose? I mean, they do it themselves.
So what we do is many times, of course, first responders are tough because they are the helpers and they don't need help, right? Because they're the ones that go out and help. So they tend to be resistant sometimes to doing interventions. But what we try to do is get as many people trained with pre-incident training and go through the CISM training themselves, which we offer every year, so that they can learn about it and understand the benefits of it and how it works, you know, from a physiological standpoint. We have trainers that actually come up and train, that are certified to train this in this model. The Mitchell model is what it's called.
Okay, so some of these things that you're already dealt with on a one-on-one level for a crash or for it seems to be resources that would be available right now for our medical health providers,
sure,
who are dealing with all this stress. And also now a whole segment of the population, because we're all undergoing this additional stress because of what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this thing has all the elements of any other crisis. You know, people's nervous systems are in overdrive, right? Because we're in fear, we're anxious, and it's wearing on everybody. And so, you know, that's why we've hooked up the CISM team as part of this KodiakCommunity.com. So if people do want to talk to somebody, we can hook them up with...
Well, okay, you talk fast, you know.
Do I?
Yeah. A little.
Well, you know, that's my downfall is caffeine, and caffeine can kind of exacerbate that stress response, so I do have a little bit of an issue with that.
You should switch to wine. Or that, maybe that's not good for you.
Gives me holiday heart, Mike. Gives me holiday heart.
Holiday heart.
Yeah. That's another issue.
Slow that part down a little bit, because that's a resource, I think, that might be available to people. What
Absolutely.
You just talked about.
Yes.
Yeah.
KodiakCommunity.com. You can go right to the website.
What is there?
So it's a very simple form they need to fill out with their name, their phone number, how to get in contact, and we will provide volunteers, a whole host of volunteers.
Like, why should you give what would make me go there?
So if you are shut in, you can't get groceries, you need medical prescriptions, we can get somebody that can deliver those to you. If you feel like you need to talk to somebody, you just are lonely and you want to talk to somebody, you're feeling overwhelmed, we can provide one of our crisis team members to listen and provide some a lending ear and provide some coping strategies and ideas to get through the stress.
So is this a new...
Or a referral.
Is this a new thing then for you as Coast Guard employees to be part of? I mean...
No, we always have been from the beginning. So Larry Lundstrom, the pastor from Kodiak Community Baptist, I mean, this guy's a go-getter. He's been amazing in this community. Can't say enough about him. But he said, you know, we should put together something when this the whole thing hit, right? So we should put together a community response team. And so it's a coalition from churches and different agencies in town, from Coast Guard, CISM team, to our enlisted association as part of it. So everyone's banding together to help folks that are in need. And, you know, what I tell people when they do call is if it's something outside the three kind of major resources that we provide, the groceries, the prescriptions, or crisis, I get them in contact with either give them a resource directly from our community resource guide that you can find on CANA website, or I refer them back to Larry, and he can see if there's any other resources available, because I know there may be some source of funding for certain things that might be available depending upon the situation. So I take it on a case-by-case basis. But if somebody needs something and they're in crisis and they don't know where to go to, they can go to kodiakcommunity.com and write in the message block what they need.
And then the wheels spin,
yep.
and they get
yep.
you in contact
yep.
with somebody
exactly.
who's going to be able to help you.
If we can't help them, we will find okay. somebody. It's similar kind of how our staff works, right, Ange?
Right. That's right. If I don't have the answers, I know somebody who does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about what's going on. You know, from Heidi, we saw you a couple weeks ago, and you folks we're 6 weeks into this right now. Are we seeing something that you can comment on about, you know, caseload increasing, certain symptoms, certain behaviors that are coming out that we didn't see before?
I think we're seeing a lot of anxiety. A lot of anxiety that is driven by fear of the unknown. So in a military environment, we come in with no expectation because it's such a different type of environment. And our expectations are given to us through a value system, the core values, and by our leadership. And our leadership is doing an outstanding job of sending us the emails with the information, but sometimes this information overload has us always thinking about the situation at hand. And so I think we're at a from talking to people, I think we're at a high elevation of anxiety, and we just want things to go back to normal. But the question that people are asking, can we ever get back to normal?
I was wondering if Heidi's been seeing this, but I feel like this trauma is sort of crossing over and said this generalized stress response, and it's bringing up stuff for people from past traumas. Are you seeing that at all in your office?
I'm seeing a little bit of that. And I would agree with Angie that the anxiety is a big, big issue for people. Just like she was saying, the uncertainty, the not knowing, the sort of anticipation of waiting for the other shoe to drop, what's going to happen next. Yeah. I know last week when the first COVID case was diagnosed here in Kodiak, that spiked mm-hmm. quite a bit of anxiety for people. There's also the element of depression along with that, where people are starting to feel like this is never going to end. And if it does end, what is that going to look like? So I think people are really feeling overwhelmed by what's happening. And I think for myself, one of the things I noticed was that because I'm a counselor, I was trying to be strong, right? Be resilient, and was sort of pretending like this wasn't affecting me. But I had a revelation last week, and it was like, oh yeah, I'm providing services for other people, but I'm going through this too. And I need to give myself a little bit of grace and a little bit of a break and say, it's okay to feel whatever it is I'm mm-hmm. feeling. I think for some people, yes, definitely it is probably, dredging up other, situations in their life that were traumatic. But I think for the majority of people, they're sort of just trying to get through what's going on right now. And I was talking to Pam earlier, and one of the things I think we might see is as businesses start to reopen, I think we're going to see another spike in people's anxiety kind of going up and people feeling uncertain about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. But also I think when we do get back to whatever our new normal is, I think we may have some fallout from that too, because at that point in time, people are going to be like, wow, that happened. I went through that. That's real. Yeah. So.
Jody, what kind of things are you seeing people drag up? Put that in context for me. We're pre-trauma, like when you were a kid or something happened to you when you were 20.
Yep. Yep.
Those experiences come back?
I think so. I don't know. And of course, you know, Heidi can probably speak more to this, but I think having this kind of stress response and overdrive all the time because everybody's kind of constantly fearful and anxious, that is what people felt in the past, too, when they've had trauma. So it could be bringing up some of these things. And people are having a lot more time to sit around, and they're kind of thinking, you know, we're busy all the time, so we don't have some of that anymore. So, I mean, maybe that's just my kind of what I think is going on. But, I mean, again, Heidi could probably speak more to that as a therapist.
I think for some people it definitely is happening, that it's bringing back some memories that they may have of trauma they experienced as a child or a young adult or even in their adulthood. One of the things I talk to people about a lot is staying in the moment, mm-hmm. not going into the past, mm-hmm. because the past is really made up of actual events, but over time they become the stories we tell ourselves about those events, and not going too far into the future because we don't know what that future is going to be like. So to try and stay in the moment and just mm-hmm. deal with things today, what's going on today, however that may play out for people. And just trying to continue to maintain some type of routines, you know, mm-hmm. if you can get up in the morning at a normal time and get dressed, take a shower, put your makeup on, whatever it is you do normally, continue those normal routines. I'm really against people staying in their pajamas all day because mm-hmm. I just think that creates a sense of like, you know, here I am living in this. So trying to maintain some normal routine, getting outside on a daily basis. You mentioned that earlier, Jody, about, you know, us living on this very beautiful island and we have the opportunity to really get outside and still not be around people, because we can maintain that social distancing and just really get some fresh air, go out hiking, go out walking, go out to the beaches, do those things that we love to do because we live in Alaska. So I really promote people doing that and really doing good self-care, which is real critical right now.
Has workload increased a lot?
Well, it hasn't slowed down.
At first, it was real quiet when it first kind of all came out, and it was just like this sort of eerie quiet, it seemed to me. Yeah. And then now in the last 2 weeks for me, it's gotten very, very busy.
With sexual assault, with trauma victims, they don't always report right now it happens.
Ooh.
And so I am still seeing reporting because it's all in their timing. And so we may be in a quarantine status, but I still have to work cases. And there again, I've got my resources inside and outside the perimeter. Do these people need counseling? Do they need medical care? And so one of the things is we're working from home. But there's definite need to go into the office. My program is congressionally mandated, so I have a database that I have to update monthly. It's audited, and we're held accountable to take care of our members. And, you know, that's a good thing.
You know, you just mentioned something that really interesting, because when we were getting ready to come in the room earlier today, I saw an interaction between the two of you, and then when we came in here with Heidi, the same sort of thing happened, that you sort of feed off of each other, and you also help each other alleviate the stress in your lives, and doing it distance-wise now must be more difficult.
I want to tell you, Mike, one of the hardest challenges of my career was when the government went into the furlough mode.
Yeah.
I was the only one that was required to work up at Work Life. When I didn't have my colleagues up there, it was sad. It was an atmosphere of loneliness. I felt like I couldn't do my job, my mission, because I didn't have my colleagues there. So while I was covering down for Jody and Kate and helping people who were coming through the door, we can't do it alone. We're not an island. I mean, mm-hmm. we live on an island, but we're not an island. And we desperately need each other. And so one of the things that we like to do is have the laughter. We like to, there's an organization up in Anchorage called STAR, Standing Together Against Rape.
Right.
When I was up there, I volunteered with them. And their sense of humor, it's like you have to be in the business to appreciate it. Our sense of humor, we get so tired and so drained from carrying the burden that we have, that we have to, Heidi, I'm sure you know, the self-care, we have to have that sharpening and that debriefing and that care of our colleagues.
I think it's probably the same across the spectrum because we're sort of a social bunch of people, are we not?
Yes.
And that work is, for many of us, is the core of, you know, what. It's just hard. I'm thinking this is so hard without that support you get constantly every day. So let's talk about the hacks, you know. Okay, we are apart still. We've been going through this. How do we have fun? How do we come out of it sanely?
Are you looking at me, Mike?
You got more ideas than anybody I've ever run across.
Well, I mean, Heidi, I agree with you as far as that's my number one thing, is stick to the routine, and that's what I've been doing. I mean, even though I have to work at home right now, I feel like I've been, you know, I get up, I make my bed, I take my shower, I get dressed, you know what I mean? I keep my workout at lunch if I can, although I'm on the phone half the time while I'm at
work.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk to her when she's spinning, okay? I'm like, Jody, you're spinning right now, okay?
And I'm talking, But, you know, it's like you got to do what you got to do. I want to answer the phone, so I keep the phone with me when at lunch, you know. But yeah, so stick to that routine as much as possible. Get outside. I don't care if it's in your backyard. Get outside for an hour a day, you know. Get that fresh air and sunshine really good, especially if you can get into our nature, like Heidi talked about. Move each day. Reach out. Connect with somebody at least 30 minutes a day. You know, get whoever that is, you know, relative, you know, colleague, friend, whatever. Connect with somebody either through FaceTime or just, you know, call. And it's really important to do this for kids too, right? I mean, Heidi, I mean, kids are missing their friends too. So we want to make sure that they are having their virtual play dates, right? You know, if they can, and I know now with technology, they can play these video games and stuff together, you know, anyway. I mean, I know my nephew does that and things like that, but, you know, make sure that they're also staying connected. Don't forget about the kids. Stay hydrated and eat well. These are key, right? You know, people are stress eating right now. I know that, you know, for the most part, but because that's our go-to. Whatever your go-to is for stress, and again, Heidi, correct me if I'm wrong, I think people are doing more of that. Like if it's alcohol, Mike, you're talking about what? What was the stat?
50%.
50% what?
Increase in alcohol sales.
Well, yeah. So if that's your go-to for stress management, what are you going to do? You're going to go to more of that. For me, I told you, it's exercise. I do two-a-days because...
That's a good thing, you know?
Well, it can be.
Unless you got a good...
Unless you got a bad heart or something, you know? I mean, you got to be careful.
Well...
You can't overdo it. Just saying.
You always put all these exceptions on everything.
Just saying. But I'm just saying, you know, you got to just sort of, and that's my go-to, and that can almost be to a fault, right? Like you can't overdo anything too much, but you know, that's kind of my go-to. So I think we have to remember that in moderation, but, you know, stay hydrated, develop your self-care toolkit, and it's going to look different for everybody. You know, I mean, make sure it's got a sensory component to it, you know, seven senses, you know, stuff that's positive. Something that's, you know, even those like, you know what I use a lot? And this is like, I have these like bean bags that you can put in the microwave. They're warm, you know, like a heating pad. And I sometimes just heat that up and I put it over my stomach at night, just sitting there. And for some reason that gives me comfort. I don't know. I just like that kind of warmth of that. And that's something that's the pressure, the heaviness, you know, feels good.
If you could put that on the Facebook, that'd be great.
Yeah. And some maybe smell, right, Heidi? Like some people like what is it called? Aromatherapy. You know, some nice lavender. You know, smells like good smells around you. Things like that. Hot cocoa. You know, some nice warm tea at night. Whatever those kind of creature comforts are. Music is huge, right? Music can change your mood in 2 seconds, right? It can go from bad or good. I mean, it'll trigger a memory.
Helen Reddy, for instance.
Helen Reddy. So I use music a lot.
We're going to have to explain that, though.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Explain it all and ready.
So when I was a young military journalist, the coolest part about my job were all the very important people coming through, maybe a USO tour or politician. It was really cool to interview them, take their pictures. And one time Helen Reddy came through. I was stationed at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I said, oh, Helen, I said, I just want an autograph. I just want you to write, because my name's Angie, I just want you to write, Angie, baby, you're a special lady. And I have that. I have a picture of me and Helen. You know, I mean, it's really cool to have those memories, you know?
Yeah, so every time you hear that song, you think, you think of that. I mean, you know, so think of something.
I want to talk about the box. I want to talk about the balloon.
Oh, the box.
The box and the balloon.
Yeah, the box and the balloon, the box breathing.
So.
Yeah, that's a hack. The box breathing is a big hack.
One of the things I going back to Heidi and just all our wonderful workers off our installation, Jody has her quarterly CISM meetings, and that's where we connect those quarterly meetings. And
CISM?
Critical Incident Stress Management.
Yeah. Oh. So that's what we, I mean, you know, Mike, we got an acronym for everything.
I know, but.
Yeah.
But that's where we all connect.
I'm the interpreter for this group.
Right. So we have the quarterly CISM meetings, and this is where we meet these cool people. And Jody brings guest speakers in, and we do these exercises, and we give these hacks. And another meeting is KWRCC, okay?
Yes,
I love them. So they invite us every month to their meeting, and that's an awesome meeting. We talk about important things.
Yeah.
But getting back to this balloon. So Jody and I have to co-teach this class, and it's workforce resiliency, right?
Yep.
It's
workforce resiliency.
Yeah. And so we have to co-teach this class, and one of the exercises is a balloon exercise. So Jody and I will take turns holding a balloon.
And I usually have to blow the balloon.
Yeah. So one, because you're a spinner, so you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Twice a day.
Well, not really.
So it's an empty balloon, and let's just picture in your mind's eye right now that Jody's got an empty balloon, okay? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give her some statements. Now, is this balloon going to stay empty, or is it going to...
Kind of represents our stress.
Yeah. Okay,
kind of a stress response.
So Jody, your caseload is increased.
The balloon's blowing up a little bit.
Jody, you just got word that your daughter needs to talk to you right now. Jody, the boss wants you over in his office.
The dog just bit the neighbor.
Yeah. Okay, so now
my balloon's getting really full.
So Jody's balloon's pretty big right now. But this is what we do. Heidi and I come along and say, hey, Jody, you want to go on a walk? And Heidi says, hey, we're having Bunko on Friday night. You want to play? Jody doesn't like Bunko. Never mind.
Okay. You just put more air into it.
Just kidding, Sue Norton.
This radio show is going to get us in trouble, Jody. Okay, so
everybody loves Bunko.
So I say, Jody, go to bingo with me.
The balloon's going down.
The balloon's going down. The point of it is that we know that our stress can just increase and get us to a place that's just not okay. And
if it keeps filling up,
yeah.
And then one little thing could do what? It could
pop.
And that's when we have the breakdown.
Yeah.
That's where you break down.
But
yeah,
thankfully, work life's there for you. And thankfully, Heidi's organization.
All of our wonderful counselors in town.
Yeah. I mean,
so you guys are like the human pins. Yeah.
Yeah, we hope.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you help them take the little bit of the air out of the balloon.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
So how can the general public use that in their own life? Are they thinking about, I got a balloon and my balloon is getting pretty darn huge?
And that's what we're talking about, all these things that I was just going down the list, you know? I mean, developing that self-care toolkit, right? And then journaling is a big thing. Writing. Just writing out your thoughts, right, Heidi? That's a really positive thing, isn't it? Journaling?
That's really a great thing. One thing I do want to talk about just real briefly is that there are a lot of apps on your phone that you can access. And I just saw this morning that Planet Fitness is offering free workouts on video. So you can go to their app and there are workouts that you can do for a wide variety. But there's also like Down Dog, which is a yoga app. And then there's some apps for like meditation and calming, yep. like Calm, Headspace, mindfulness app. So those are great things that people can key into yeah. to help them get some more skills as far as like getting exercise, but also incorporating that mind, body, spirit.
Right. Because those are the hacks. Because what we want to do is we want to calm that vagus nerve, right? In our right. that goes yeah. down our body, right? Because that's what calms us down. That's what activates the parasympathetic nervous system, right? Because our sympathetic nervous system is what is keeping the drive, the high fear, the drive, right? That's keeping right. us survival, because we're in survival mode right now all the time. And that is wearing on a system. And that's why people are getting overwhelmed. So in order to calm that down, all those things that Heidi just said are hacks, right? Meditation, because yoga, it all has to do with what? The breath. Right, it's all about breathing, and those apps are fabulous. And so, in order to calm that, get that, activate that calming, the calming vagus nerve, and to calm ourselves down, it's all connected through the breath, because it controls our blood pressure, our heart rate, all those things. And there's a really good technique called box breathing that people can do at home. And I would love to do it with everybody right now if they would want to participate.
Hey, quick, this is okay? radio. Perfect.
Yeah, so people can do it at home and not have to worry about people looking at them or anything, feeling weird. So it was introduced by Colonel David Grossman, who has worked with soldiers in the Army to calm them down when they're in combat, and so that they can perform their duties, because sometimes they get so overwhelmed that they just freeze. So what it is, it's a four-count breathing where – but before we start, I want everybody to kind of get a number between 1 and 10 where your stress level is. You can write it down on the paper, or you can just think about it. Think about where you are right now as far as your stress level. And so we're going to go through four rounds really, you know, of box breathing, and I'm going to count for you. So I'll try to slow down because I know I talk fast. So I'm going to try to calm down myself as well. So what I want everybody to do is just, and it's real important because the vagus nerve runs all the way down through your gut, your intestines. So you want to get that breath deep, right? So you want to inhale for a count of four. Ready? Inhale. 3, 4. Hold your breath. 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 2, 3, 4. Pause. 2, 3, 4. Inhale. 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, pause, 2, 3, 4, inhale, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, pause, 2, 3, 4. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4. Now just breathe on your own. But so now, on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you kind of feel? Hopefully that number's gone down. How about you for you, Ange?
Oh, yeah, I went down 2.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine went down like 1, but I mean, I was saying it, so... I was doing the leading, so, but that's a hack that people can do to kind of calm themselves down. And you can do that anywhere. You can do that while you're talking to your boss. You wouldn't even know, you know? You could do this breathing exercise, right?
One of the things my daughter, she's 18, she just graduated from Kodiak High School. She says, Mom, practice your breathing. That's one of the things is you could teach your kids, right? When they're going through all the stages. But, you know, when I get upset, she'll like, Mom, you better breathe. You better breathe. And it's a funny thing
yep.
in our house.
We tend to hold our breath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, that there's a lot of hacks. We talked about a lot of things that you can do personally, and you need to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about what do we do to take care of other people. I mean, that's a good one from, you know, somebody who's looking at you, just say, Mom, your balloon is about to pop. Start to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, how can we take care of people that we see? We're pointing at Heidi.
So one of the ways to take care of people that we see is to just exactly what Jody was talking about, instilling in them the idea that they can take care of themselves, that they have the ability to do things that will help them and to talk about, you know, sleeping, eating right, getting exercise, getting outside, all of those things. And then doing things like we just did, having them practice deep breathing, because so often when we're under stress, we start breathing very shallowly and we're not getting that breath deep down into our lungs where it needs to be. So working just like we, just like they demonstrated right now on the radio, working with them when I'm seeing them virtually or over the phone, walking them through those exercises, talking about progressive relaxation, which is a way of relaxing. It works best when you're laying down. Just going through all the different major muscle groups in the body and tensing and relaxing them. So giving them some real specific coping skills that they can use to help them get through things.
Yeah, and they can do that with kids too. If kids are having trouble sleeping, I used to do that with my daughter when she couldn't sleep. I would do the whole progressive relaxation with her. I'd start at her toes and go all the way up to her face, you know, her facial muscles, and she was asleep by the time I went through that with her. So parents can do that for their kids too. And it's just a real benign way to kind of help them relax. And my daughter still uses that technique today. It's really good. I'm glad you brought that up.
So we can do that for older people too. I mean, grandma and grandpa in the community that are locked up.
Yeah,
absolutely. Talk them through that.
Okay. At what point in time do we move them towards an intervention, though? I mean, what time do you say, okay, we did the breathing exercises, we did the food, we did everything else. It really looks to me like my kid is in needs more help. So, is that become obvious? When do you make the call?
I think you make the call as soon as you notice that things are not quite going the way they should be. Sooner is better than later, you know. So if you feel like things are kind of out of your control, and maybe that's just because you're having a hard time, you're feeling stressed, you know, make that phone call. People are out there, not just at KCHC and not just at the Coast Guard base, Providence, CANA, the community helpline, all of those things, those resources are out there, and this is the time to take advantage of them. Don't wait.
And Katie, people should probably kind of expect some behavioral issues with children right now, right? I mean, they're under a lot of stress right now. They're fearful too. So I think that, you know, we have to create a space, a place where they feel safe, right?
Right.
Keep that routine.
Keep a routine. Talk to them about what's going on. Don't overwhelm them. But if they have questions, answer those questions as best you can. Encourage them. Be kind. Be kind to each other. Give compliments. If they're working on their schoolwork and they're maybe struggling, encourage them. Tell them they're doing a good job. You know, touch is very important too. You know, ruffling a kid's hair when you walk by them, maybe giving them a pat on the shoulder, you know, touching their hand, just reinforcing that things are okay and that you're there to help take care of them.
Yeah, and hugs are great. Hugs are so great. That just that transfer of loving energy to kids too. And spend extra time playing with them right now. I mean, like they need that interaction. That's going to help them to feel more secure and safe too. Spend some extra time with them if you can, playing.
So, Mike, speaking of how we help people, I have to go and help somebody right now. So okay. I'm going to.
Yeah, it is time for
Thank you for having me. It was great seeing you guys, Jody.
It was so great to see you.
Hope to talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Heidi.
Call if you need anything.
Bye, Heidi.
See ya.
Okay.
Just us.
Yeah, no, we're past time. We're gonna call it a close.
Okay.
I just have one weird question.
Okay.
You know, is anybody immune? You know, it seems like this is hitting everybody at different levels. You know,
yes.
And
it sure does.
It makes me think that the people that aren't showing any symptoms are masking things. You know, or is it just some folks are just more resilient and this doesn't make any difference to them?
Well, I think it does on some level, but some people just have much better coping mechanisms than others, and some people aren't verbal about it. They don't like to share those things, or they it's a personality thing, probably.
But laughter can get you through it, can't it?
I agree. I think laughter is really important. Angie was telling me, you know, we both watched this YouTube channel lately.
Yeah.
Tell them about that, Angie.
So there's one of the things I like to do is I like to look for something positive, encouraging. So the military chaplain school, they teach you how to hunt for the good stuff. So if you're starting to go down a road in your thought life, maybe you're thinking, hey, maybe I should go get a bottle to drink. I say, well, how about you just turn on this YouTube? There's a lot of comedians out there. You can laugh. I've got a couple comedians I've sent you links
yes.
on that are, you know, just really like new stuff,
mm-hmm.
okay? New stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't old stuff. This is new stuff. This is like just everyday life that's funny. I have a girlfriend. We were in the Army together, and she had twins. And just her kids were entertainment to me when she talked about her kids. Sharing life with people, I think, is entertaining. And when you can find a comedian that you can relate to, I think that's helpful. You know, from my chaplain background, I like to watch sermons. I have my favorite pastors I like. I think Texas is a great state. They got some great pastors down there. You know?
Wait a minute. There's something's wrong with your microphone. Doesn't appear to be working right now.
They got some good pastors down there. But, you know, that's the thing is we got to hunt for the good stuff. And when you get around people that value people, they're your go-to in times like this, okay? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jody. Thanks for pointing that out.
Light bulb.
So my daughter, Elizabeth, she's got such a great sense
Here
of humor.
Go. Here we
oh,
go.
My gosh. So she's hysterical, okay? She likes The Office,
mm-hmm.
okay? I can't get into The Office, all right?
The British one or the American one?
The American one.
Yeah.
I just can't get into it. But anyway, what's his name?
John Krasinski.
John Krasinski's got this...
Some
good news on YouTube. And Elizabeth
awesome.
And I have watched every single one of them.
It's hilarious.
I love the weather section, right? One day they had De Niro on there. Next day they had Brad Pitt on there.
Steve Carell was on there once.
Yeah, yeah. Steve. But and Dwight, right?
Yeah.
Just, you know, that's the kind of stuff we need to look for right
yep.
now.
Yeah, positive stuff.
Positive and encouraging stuff. And,
yep.
And sometimes
Agreed.
We need someone to help you get there.
Yep.
And Jody is that person who helps me get there. And hopefully I'm that person for Jody.
Oh, yeah.
But we want to be that person for so many in the community. Okay?
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's awesome.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks
no,
for
it's been
us,
great.
Yeah.
You gave me some ideas.
Good.
For how to proceed.
Good, and I have a whole list here of 25 that I'll leave with you.
Yeah, great.
I know we couldn't get to them all, but that's
we'll
for
have a
show.
Drawing.
That's
we'll have a drawing
show.
Every day.
Every
we'll
day
do
you
one.
Should give one of these.
Okay,
right.
Today's dance day.
Yeah.
and here we're dancing in the studio. Hey, thank you all very much. We're going to have folks from the Alaska Municipal League in tomorrow with, I'm not sure what the other, Swampsea representative to talk about state issues. So be with us then tomorrow. Thank you for being with us on the extended version of the mental health edition of The Lowdown. See you all tomorrow. Have a good day.